Welcome to a psychodelicious conversation on mental health issues and trends from three local mental health professionals in the greater Lansing area. I'm Michael Stratton, LMSW.
And I'm Morgan Bowen, PMHNP.
And I'm Melissa Black, PMHNP, and we're here to provide you with a deep dive into the human experience of consciousness and beyond.
Our aim is to be educational and entertaining, so just kick back and open your ears and your minds.
Hey, I'm Michael Stratton. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year. I'm Morgan Bowen.
And Happy New Year. I'm Melissa Black.
Happy New Year. I am the guy that presses buttons.
Dedalion, our producer, our fearless producer, to be fearless.
Fearless. I am fearless. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. A new year, a new topic.
It is a new topic. And I don't know if our listeners know, but we rotate through the three of us to choose topics or think of topics. So I thought today we would talk about New Year's resolutions as kind of an entry point to the discussion, but also more broadly goal setting. And, you know, for us as clinicians working with folks who would like to improve, that typically in a broad way is kind of goal setting and moving towards a goal post. So how do we do that sort of in our own lives and kind of what that means for us? But then we'll transition to talking about how that informs our work. And so that's kind of the general idea. Sounds good to everybody. We're going to get started.
Love it.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a round robin of our resolutions?
Well, tell me what you guys think about New Year's resolutions. These are, I've been asking around in my life, and people have many thoughts just about the idea of New Year's resolutions. Like, are they good? Are they bad?
So I think they can be both. But this is like a new thought I've had in my 40s, because noticing in the world how we can kind of beat ourselves up with what we're doing and making sure that like the goals are reasonable, are like kind, are like, you know, compassionate to ourselves as well, and not like these punishment goals of like, I'm going to do this workout, you know, every day for an hour, and I'm not going to eat cookies, and I'm, you know, never going to eat coffee or whatever again, and you know, I'm gonna
drink coffee, smoke cigarettes, gamble.
So like trying to make sure it's attainable, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm thinking more about attainability now as I get older,
which is important for goals. I mean, you know, or else it leads to disappointment, you know, kind of setting up for failure. Mm-hmm. Or the idea that something is like the rigidity of what can happen. If I don't do it perfectly, then that means I messed up. And so I'm not
bad.
Doing any of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all out the window.
Like all or nothing or black and white type cognitive distortion cyclones.
I have that problem.
Black and white thinking.
Well, yeah, probably, but more like I was thinking more, you know, setting a goal and then, you know, making progress, and then kind of something happens, and then instead of sort of taking a beat and kind of incorporating the ups and downs in goal attainment, I just kind of stop and, well, if I didn't do it perfectly, I'm just going to stop doing it.
Mm. Boy, I gave a lot of thought to this because I knew this is what we'd be talking about today. And there was a period of my life, really for about a decade or so, that I would take New Year's Day and just spend hours to create, like, here's my 5-year goal, here's my 3-year goal, here's my 1-year goal, here's my next month's goal, here's my weekly goal, you know, to break it down in little pieces like that. And I haven't done that for a while. And part of it is so much of that goal setting was to build sustainable practices that I'm now living in. You know, I'm doing that now. So
that's fancy.
It is fancy.
I'm fantastic.
Yes.
And now that I'm in my 70s, I don't think in terms of a 5-year goal, because I don't know if I'll be here in
really?
5 years or 10
yeah.
years. Or I mean, this is the era or the age, you know, where people just kind of fall over. So I don't anticipate this. I mean, it's realistic.
It's a bright and shiny future for
so uplifting 2026.
Yes.
I'm not going to make it out of this year. Anyway,
I'm laughing because one of the things we learned in nursing school is when you are working with patients, it's frequent that you're doing goal setting. So if you're working in kind of a long-term primary care sort of way, like, where would you like to be in 5 years? But you don't ask the older adult
Yes.
That would be maybe a...
Is that a part of the training is don't ask the older...
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Did you learn that?
Yes, I did. Yep. Yes, I did.
That's
that kind of makes
sense. You frame it differently.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe you shorten the time.
5 days.
Yeah. What would you like
five
to get
hours?
Done today?
Yeah.
What about you, Jadalian? What are your thoughts of New Year's resolutions?
I am not a fan. I actually was asked on New Year's to do a couple of resolutions, so I made something up. I picked up, seriously. I
pulled it out of my hat.
I very much feel like they set you up for failure, mm-hmm. and I've just never enjoyed the concept. So I've never really been one to make New Year's resolutions. Recently, though, on another podcast that I produced, though, probably within the last couple of years anyway, they brought up the idea and the thought process of instead picking a word of an empowerment or a skill or something you want to improve on.
Yeah.
And so last year, my word was communication. I wanted to get better at communication, which is ironic for a guy who's in the communication field.
It's a theme.
But it is true. And I've always had difficulty sometimes, especially when it comes to email. Mm-hmm. I tend to get too deep into the weeds, and AI has been an awesome friend for me. Very often I've taken an email, put down what I want to say, and then it does a very good job. I mean, you still got to improve on it, but it did a very good job of helping me in that way. And I've noticed that since the beginning of the year, it's basically adjusted my emails less, if that makes sense. So it's like I can see I've gotten better about it. You know, interpersonal communication, I feel like I've gotten better. I think you'd have to ask people in my life if that's true. But
so no, this year, it's like the level of communication or communicating message better.
It basically was to make sure that I was being understood a little bit better, and to make sure that also that I'm understanding somebody better, because that's part of communication, right?
Not in today's world. I applaud your efforts because, I think there's a lot of communication mismatch that's happening in the world.
There is, And so anyway, so this year I actually chose two words because I wanted to emphasize what it was, and I'm going with authentic confidence.
Authentic confidence.
Yes. So that's my thing for this year. And by that, I mean, a lot of people who know me, I feel like look at me and believe I'm a pretty confident person, mainly because I can stand in front of crowds of thousands of people. I have no problem with doing that. I can do all sorts of things. I can get on a microphone. But sometimes myself, I want authentic confidence within where I know I can do things and I can make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm already seeing improvements, and I've seen it over the last year. So that's my goal.
I love that. So it's so interesting because I was just at the gym before I came here, which was a New Year's resolution of years past that has become a regular part of my life. But anyway, I was talking to one of the trainers and I asked her what she thought about New Year's resolutions. And she had the same idea, like choosing a word and having that as like a focus or as like the thrust of what, as opposed to a specific goal or... So I liked that. And for me, I think discipline has been kind of my thought process with this year. Like there's been a lot of change, like, and this is really my professional life. So I was thinking about this too, because we have professional goals and then personal goals.
Right.
And I'm very familiar with professional goal setting. I mean, that's something that, I've done for a long time, but personal goal setting is a bit different, I think.
I think like professional goal setting, our work life is more like delineated usually, it's clearer. But personal, like just there's a lot of murkiness there.
So discipline is, I mean, it's such a severe word, it's like discipline. But by that I mean maybe, stick-to-itiveness, like being more consistent. Maybe consistent is what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, so I have a tendency to be like, okay, I'm doing okay. I'm kind of, but like I'm going to do it all later. By later is like at the end of the week or maybe at the end of the month. So then I'll do it all in like one giant sitting, where it's so much more beneficial for my mental, like all the health things, for me to be just consistent along the way and not, wait to I guess this is procrastination.
I was just going to say, are we procrastinating?
I guess maybe this is a procrastination issue, but that, it's something that I've struggled with a long time.
But if it's procrastination, that means that discipline is the correct word to use.
Yeah.
And it's not, not beating yourself up, but it's just the discipline of staying consistent.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, it's worked for this first week back to work.
You're on a roll.
Semi-related to that, I've actually noticed, I just started like over the last week, I've actually started picking up my meditation again.
Oh.
And that wasn't intentional, but I do believe that has something to do with the authentic confidence part of me, where I just want to inside feel like I am confident about the things I'm doing, the choices I'm making.
That's deep.
Yeah, that is deep.
Yeah, there's some part of me you never know.
Yeah.
Melissa, do you have one?
So this year, I've been kind of coming up with words, like a feeling or
a
word.
Is this a new thing? Like, did somebody come? Is this like a Brené Brown thing or something?
Not that I'm
a Weight Watcher thing that I've heard of. No. Weight Watchers does that.
So the year that I got a divorce, which was 2015, I had a lot of goals. There were a lot of feelings and a lot of frustrations. And so my theme for that year was, I'm not going to do anything anymore that makes me feel like crap. Mm-hmm. So I just applied that. Is this what I'm doing? Is this behavior? Is this activity? Whatever. Is this bringing me down? Making whatever just is not a good idea. So I've kind of kept that like rolling every year, like so I can kind of self-assess. Am I really doing things to be kind, gentle, easy on myself? I have a long history of being very hard on myself. So that's been this like overarching thing for a long time. But last year it was working less. Like I need to spend more hours in my life outside of work.
I'll have what she's having.
Yes, and I made some huge changes, and there was a lot of stress and trauma with those changes, but starting like right now, I can kind of reflect and say, these were good changes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of spending more time in my life, but also doing fun things like this in my professional life. This is bringing a lot of joy. Versus, like slogging along with more notes and,
Right. And it does bring the two together, like personal and professional, like this.
Yes.
I was actually thinking the same thing. Yeah. Is it murky for you then?
No, it's a good thing. Yeah. Whatever it is, it might be murky, but for me, it feels good.
Have more fun.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you, Michael?
Well, there are two or three things. One is AI. I want to learn more about that.
You want to learn
and get
too.
Into it a little. Yeah, I'm still
turn
learning.
Your will and your life over to the overlords
of our robot overlords. It's inevitable.
I love AI.
The second is I've been resistant about this thing. I am diabetic. I'm a type 2 diabetic. I'm on medication, not insulin. I keep monitoring every day. I prick my finger, all that kind of stuff. But I am reckless with what I eat. I work out very regularly, like almost every day. That helps. My doctor has not been alarmed by my numbers, but I'm aware that this is a progressive thing. And it's like, what if I really looked at this? What if I really attended to what I eat? I do great at breakfast because I have yogurt and some pieces of fruit in there, some berries and some protein powder for breakfast. But after that, it's game on
free
with
ball,
whatever I want to eat. So it's AI. When you mentioned meditation, that's something for me too, that I want to get back into meditating. I do now a couple times a week, but I would love to make it a daily practice as it was at one time in my life. So there are a few things, and also stressing relationships over work. I too want to work smarter, not harder, and I want AI to help me to do that. And I've got a lot of irons in the fire, and how would I, and I see a number of clients that are out of state, people who've read my books and said, hey, can I meet with you online? And we do that, and I think, well, why don't I do more of that, or even create groups online that are like nationally or even internationally based? And that'd be simple to do that work, 4 hours a week instead of 20 hours a week, which is what I do now.
Your goal setting is partly about brainstorming, like what kinds of things am I interested in, or what kinds of things have I been thinking about, maybe thinking that that's totally not possible, I can't do that, or Yeah, how do you decide what to work on or what to work for?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I came up with. This is one of those things that I knew at one time and I was reminded of today when I was looking back at notes. Don't plan on like, okay, I'm going to learn AI. Plan a specific activity. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, tonight at 8 o'clock, I'm going to spend 30 minutes looking online for what's the best AI product for me. You know, that's an activity. That's something that's easy to accomplish. It's measurable. It's observable. It's, you know.
Oh, boy, we're getting into smart goals.
And that's it. Be careful. You might also find it fun. I'm just saying.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, seriously, it can be fun.
Well, maybe I'll pick your brain. Maybe I'll do that.
I have a lot to give, but okay.
Yeah. And I don't know what you guys think about this, but you have to be really mindful and like inside of yourself to think about your goals, to think about what you want. And so much time is spent kind of scrolling, you know, whether it's watching something, there's this external stimulation. At least I find that can be a real distraction from actually connecting with myself to even then realize, oh crap, I haven't spent any time actually like being in my body, in my house, like living my life. I've just been like totally distracted in my phone.
Oh, I think that's such I think that's a plague. I mean, I think it's just such a condition of the modern, because we are spending so much time interfacing with external things that our internal landscapes are very foreign territory a lot of times.
Yes.
So I think when, you know, working with folks, like working with our patients, and, you know, this is definitely, I'm thinking, probably a big part of therapy or the therapeutic process is to move people towards understanding what it is that may bring them happiness or, you know, may, if they're, you know, I'm stuck, I'm unhappy, I don't really know why, you know, I'm so trying to understand what it is we are working towards is kind of the first thing. That's a much different presentation than somebody who's like, I'm struggling with my relationship with food or, you know, something very concrete.
Yeah. I think that eventually we will likely realize that we need to do that mindfulness work with ourselves to actually be effective in those nutrition goals and, you know, relationship with food goals and things like that.
I worry about just an aim. I mean, it's becoming more and more a concern or on my radar. Just we are kind of mindlessly going from stimulus to stimulus without a lot of connection with ourselves, but then connection with other people.
Yes.
And everything is, you know, I don't know what my thing is. I don't know what my, please tell me what it is.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want you to tell them. Like, I want you to tell me what the problem is. And I'm like, well.
But nobody wants you to tell them you need to spend less time on your phone.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Truly?
Truly.
Even though everybody knows. I mean, everybody does know this.
Oh, yes. Okay. There's mega psychological resistance.
Wow.
Yeah.
To, you know, no judgment at all. But it's.
We've all been there.
Yeah. I mean, we've got our phones in front of us, you and I, just in case we miss something.
I spent half of it.
And I will admit, I left mine in my office, but when I sat down, there was a moment where I went, well, I don't have my phone on me. And then I thought, I don't really need that to be with me now. And it was weird.
Yeah. I love those moments. I've tried to like grow or like notice those moments more where I'm like, I have that same sensation. And then same thing, like, wait, no, I don't need that right now. And it's a relief.
I had a goal at a certain time. I don't think it was a New Year's resolution, but to evaluate my relationship with social media. And because I think it was during COVID, during the pandemic, I mean, I was spending hours, you know, perusing and scrolling through TikTok primarily because it's great. I mean, it was fun. It was great, but it was so incredibly unfulfilling. I would complete 2 to 3 hours of a scroll session.
Yeah.
And be like, I feel like I've gained nothing. Nothing positive has stayed with me from the time that that I'm spending with this.
Yeah, I think we talked about this before because that was the time that I was doing the same thing. And then there was just a day where I went, what am I doing? And I just stopped. And the funniest quote I've ever heard about social media is, it was a comedian and I can't remember her name, but she said something like, social media is a lot like looking into the refrigerator when you're not hungry. Mm-hmm. All you're doing is opening into opening up, going, "What's in there?
Yeah,
what's in there?
Anything?"
And then you shut it, mm-hmm. and you walk mm-hmm. away.
It's like not good for us neurologically. No. Like,
yeah,
being engaged in those short loops.
There's a high correlation between depression and the amount of time that you spend on screen yeah. time.
Insanely creepy too. How interconnected with all your other activity it is. Like, I just recently bought a bed. I go on Facebook and all of a sudden I'm seeing all these bed ads.
Yep.
And it's like, wow, come on. How much further can you get into
they
my life?
They are listening to us. They
well, that's the, one of the yeah. phases of AI. I mean, AI is going to be explode all of that.
Yeah.
And it has exploded.
Explode and exploit.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. It's, I mean, you know, these things are created for business purposes, for consumer aims, sure. for profitability. So they will be exploited for all those. I love AI. I mean, maybe we should do a whole episode
yes.
on AI. I love it for its productivity. I do a lot of reading, historical research, you know, things like that. So instead of having to find, I can just amalgamate a lot of information in one space. I request sources. I mean, there's so much that you can do with it. It's really mm-hmm. great.
I'm heading out of state in February, and it actually helped me plan a whole trip, so that
yeah.
was pretty cool.
There's so many
oh,
different things.
Really?
Yeah.
Like where to stay,
yeah.
where to eat,
yeah.
where
yeah.
to
yeah.
All the
recommended
things.
Stuff. You know, I okay. took, picked and choose and decided if I actually wanted to go that route. My companion and I, we like paranormal kind of fun stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
So it came up with suggestions of like different tours and things like that on your way down. Because I have to go to Virginia because I'm going to see a friend's wedding and that was our path, and so it suggested stuff. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, came up with some really cool ideas.
It just made me think, too. I mean, all these resolutions, are we creating like an idealized sense of ourselves?
Oh,
you know,
right.
like
we're talking
about resolutions. This is not who I am, but this is who I want to be.
Right.
Versus like, could you create a resolution that makes you more of who you are, what you really enjoy, what you...
Yeah.
I want to listen to more music and
no,
yes. you know, go.
Well, last year, you know, I really wanted to, I love reading. It's my number
I'm so
one.
I'm so impressed by your reading.
Thank you.
I would like to read at your level.
It's so much less than it used to be. I used to read hundreds of books a year before I had a kid and became a nurse and all of that. But I mean, I truly did get that dopamine rush of like, oh my gosh, I got to 52 books.
Mm-hmm. And I saw your list.
Yes.
I'd actually read a couple of James.
Loved
which
that.
Which was great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Martyr. Did
I
you read
have Martyr.
It's,
I haven't. I've read the first couple chapters as a sample, and now I have the
that might
the
those
book,
two but, might be my favorite. I yeah. couldn't really pick a one.
So, do you
favorite.
Have a reading goal for this year?
I chose 55 this year.
Okay, so a slight what, increase.
What's your regimen? I mean, do you read first thing in the morning? You read at night?
I read. I don't have a good regimen.
Okay. Do you read at stoplights?
I just, do not do that.
I honestly, God, I heard that within the last couple of weeks. Someone who said they read at stoplights.
But I started listening to books in the car. So I get distracted listening to books if I'm doing activities. But if I'm driving, so yeah. I am listening and reading. I have one going each way, each time.
I'm glad that you brought that up because I really do want to I need to make a reading goal. But my reading goal is an example of an overachieving goal. I was like, okay, I'm going to read a nonfiction book and a fiction book at the same time. I'm going to rotate U.S. to through the continents for the fiction. And I mean, it's too much.
You've lost
That's
me.
Too, I, yes. Yeah, exactly. I lost myself. And then I was like,
it's gotta
I can't
be fun.
Do this. I don't have time to do any of this. I'm not reading anything.
Yeah.
Congratulations on making reading complicated.
Yeah.
It's so true. I'm like, I need a structured reading list. So, yeah, don't do that, everybody. That's not a good way to make a goal.
So in part two, we're going to talk about how this applies to our work with clients.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
It's a good idea.
I resolved to do it.
A Psychodelicious conversation is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is no substitute for therapy and should not be treated as such. If you feel a need for real therapy, you should consult your local provider, Google Therapy, or therapists in your area. Check your community mental health or a suicide hotline if you are feeling suicidal.
Mike, Morgan, and Melissa welcome your questions, feedback, or dilemmas. Feel free to send your emails to psych.delish@gmail.com. That's psych.delish@gmail.com.
The views expressed on this podcast are solely the opinions of Mike Stratton, Morgan Bowen, and Melissa Black, and do not reflect the views or opinions of any site broadcasting this podcast. Replication of this podcast without written permission is strictly prohibited.